ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 27, The Process of Deity Worship. Chandanoshira, Karpura, Kumkumaguru, Vashitai, Salilai, Snapayen, Mantra, Nityara, Vibhave, Sati, Swarna, Garmanubhakena, Mahapurusha, Vidyaya, Porushenapi, Suktena, Samabhi, Rajanadibhi. Chandanoshira Karpura, Kumkumaguru Vasitai, Salilai Snapayan Mantra, Nityada Vibhave Sati, Swarna Garmanubhakena, Mahapurusha Vidyaya, Porusenapi Suktena, Samabhirajanadibhi, Chandana, with sandalwood paste, Ushira, the fragrant Ushira root, Karpura, camphor, Kumkuma, vermilion, Aguru, aloes wood, Vasitai, which are perfumed, Salilai, by different kinds of water. Snapayet, one should bathe the deity. Mantrai, with mantras. Nityara, every day. Vibhave, assets. Sati, to the extent that there are. Swarnagarma anuvakena, by the chapter of the Vedas known as Swarnagarma, Mahapurusha Vidyaya, by the incantation called Mahapurusha, Purushena, by the Purusha Sukta, Api, also, Suktena, the Vedic hymn, Samavi, by songs from the Samavid. Rajana Adibi, known as Rajana, and so on. Translation, the worshipper should bathe the deity every day as opulently as his assets permit, using water scented with sandalwood, Ushira root, camphor, kumkuma, and aguru. He should also chant various Vedic hymns, such as the Anuvaka known as Swarnagarma, the Mahapurusha Vidya, and the Purusha Sukta, and various songs of the Samaved, such as the Rajana and the Rohinya. Translation, please repeat. The worshipper should bathe the deity every day as opulently as his assets permit, using waters scented with sandalwood, ushira root, camphor, kumkuma, and aguru. He should also chant various Vedic hymns, such as the Anuvak known as Swarnagarma, the Mahapurusha Vidya, the Purusha Sukta, and various songs of the Samaved, such as the Rajanya and the Rohinya. Purport. The Purusha Sukta prayer, beginning with Om Sahasrasesa Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat, is contained within the Rig Veda. So not much of a purport here. But anyway, some interesting things. Anybody know what Ushira is? Nobody knows what Ushira root is. And I still, although we hear it all the time, I still have no idea what is aguru. Does anybody know what aguru is? This is one we hear all the time. I know it's a scent, but even after living a quarter century in India, I still don't. Huh?
You can't provide it in the world.
So we'll read text 32. Vastapavitta bharana patrasra ganda lepanai alankur vita sa prema madbhakto mamyato chitam. My devotees should then lovingly decorate me with clothing, a Brahman thread, various ornaments, marks of tilak and garlands, and he should anoint my body with fragrant oils, all in the prescribed manner. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes Lord Sri Vishnu's instruction to Ambarish Maharaj in the Vishnu Dharma Upapurana as follows. Absorbing your mind completely in the deity, you should give up all other shelter and consider the deity your intimate well-wisher. You should mentally worship him and meditate upon him while you walk, while you stand, while you sleep and eat. You should see the deity in front of you, behind you, above, below, and on both sides. In this way, you should constantly remember my deity form. In the Gautamiya Tantra, one is enjoined to give the deity of the Lord a Brahman thread, if possible, one made of gold. In the Sringa Purana, it is stated, if one offers to Lord Govinda a yellow sacred thread containing three strands of silk, he will become an expert in Vedanta. Om Agyana Chimarandasya Garanangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya-rupistam sthapitam jena bhutale sayam rupakanamayam dadati svabharandiyam adadanastrinandantayvridam yache puna puna srimarupapadambujo dulisyam janma janmani jaya sri krishna chaitanya pravanitananda sri adaita gadara shivasari gaura bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes to the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here in this chapter is being described the process of deity worship. And just like we're seeing, we're constantly hearing this word aguru in all the scriptures, all the descriptions, but still we don't know what it is. We'll have to find this one out. So anyway, this is a very interesting chapter because I'm not so much an expert on deity worship as kirtan and Krishna katha. Actually, these are nice verses for Jananivas and Pankajangri to lecture on, who just did complete Brajmandal Prakrama. So we had them in Vrindavan, or at least somewhere in Braj, they were with us for 1 month. We only ran into them here and there whenever our Prakrama party ran into the Brajmandal Prakrama party. But anyway, these are so many ways of worshipping the Lord. Just to, as it says here, just to absorb the mind. In fact, we see that most of the acharyas have always recommended deity worship, especially since we're in this conditioned state. It's very important for us to perform deity worship, because then we get take our mind off of decorating our own selves and our own bodies and our own houses and things like that, and we can absorb ourselves in decorating the Lord. This is the whole idea, that we're completely absorbed in dressing ourselves in nice silks and nice. We go to Mayapur festival and Kartik just to see what is the latest Vaishnava fashion and all these things. But actually, we should be more interested in the latest fashion for deity worship. We'd be more interested. There's a whole idea of deity worship, that we take our mind off our bodily concept of life. And since we're embodied and we think in terms of bodies and forms, therefore we concentrate our energy on the form of the Lord. Instead of thinking of how nicely I will dress today, we'll think how nicely we can dress the Lord, how we can decorate Him with nice jewelry. We're always anxious to get nice jewelry, but we should think how to decorate the Lord with nice jewelry, how to decorate the Lord with so many nice flowers. In fact, coming here this morning, I'm completely overwhelmed. The pujaris have done such a wonderful job of service. I shouldn't say job, the wonderful service of decorating the deity so nicely with so many beautiful flowers. Even they have some flowers to match with the backdrop flowers. So anyway, I'm very much thankful to who's ever doing the deity worship. They've done a wonderful job in decorating the Lord. So in this way, we have these beautiful white marble singhasans, because we're always, we go to people's houses, you know, we always notice all their furniture. And actually, they only have the furniture just to be noticed. Because I remember, when I was young, we had one room that was called the living room, but we never lived there. In fact, we were always chastised, we went into that room, you stay out of that room, you know, and everything, we have all this nice. They spent thousands and thousands of dollars on nice furniture, all covered with plastic. Only when the relatives come, then they take up all the plastic. And it's called living room, but we never really went there 3 or 4 times a year. So we're always anxious to have very nice, opulent furniture and things to show off to all of our relatives and friends. But here we have beautiful, white, carved marble singhasans for our lords. And so many beautiful dresses for our lords, so many beautiful flowers. So this way we concentrate, we take ourselves off of this bodily conception and concentrate on the transcendental form of the Lord. And here it's very nicely said, that's why we come early in the morning for Sringar Darshan, that we see the Lord, then one should mentally worship Him and meditate upon him while you walk, while you stand, while you sleep, while you eat. You should see the deity in front of you, behind, above, below, and on both sides. So this is the whole purpose of coming in the morning for Sringar Darshan, to see the Lord. Then throughout the day we can remember the Lord. And here it says behind, in front, in back, above, below, beside, everywhere. We should see this form of the Lord and meditate very intensely upon him, and then try to, because throughout the day we're completely lost in the material energy. There's so many things we have to do, and we have our jobs, and so many things we have to do, but every once in a while we can, oh, in the morning I saw the deity, what was he wearing? And we can think of the deity before us, behind us, or at least somehow or other think of the Lord. This is the whole idea. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that this is very, very important, because as a conditioned soul, we're attracted by forms. So this process of deity worship is very important, because then we can be attracted to the form of the Lord. Without being attracted to the form of the Lord, then Bhaktivinoda says, we're in a very awkward position. And sometimes people criticize this process of deity worship. Beginning even from the impersonalists, although they have so many deities, panchopasana, but sometimes they'll say that, why are you worshipping the deity in the temple? God is everywhere. So then Prabhupada said, if he's everywhere, then he's not in the temple? You're criticizing why we're worshipping God in the temple. He's not there. He's everywhere. He's also there. But actually this process of deity worship, this is very authorized process described in the Vedas, because here it said we should chant all these hymns to the Lord. Even some things, I have no idea what is Swarnagarma. Anybody ever heard of Swarnagarma? We all know Purusha Sukta, that's our favorite one. But anyway, so many, all the Vedic hymns are there for worshipping the deity. So in this way, since we're attracted by forms, we're embodied and we're attracted by forms, and ultimately the form of the Lord is eternal. That we know from the very first verse of Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Vigraha means form. Just like we usually don't call deity, we call Sri Vigraha. So Vigraha means form. So Lord has got form, but that form is not like this body. That form is Satchidananda Vigraha. That form is eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So in this way we get to, because since ultimately we're the ultimate constitution of the soul, that Mahaprabhu has told us, Jivera Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. We're the servant of Krishna. So by seeing Krishna's form, and by worshipping his form, and decorating his form, then this is very natural process. Otherwise we're completely awkward. If we have no form of the Lord to see, then we're in a very awkward position. So this is an authorized process described in the Vedas. It's not that, because ordinarily they always quote some verse that one should not have graven image. But image means imagination. Image comes from the word imagination. So Lord's form is not imagination. That is described in the Vedas, that is described by all the saints who have seen the Lord. It's not that everybody's seeing something different. They've all giving the same description of the Lord. Maybe something a little bit different, just like somebody asked Prabhupada that we see some artist paints like this. It's like he's seen this very unique picture of Radha and Krishna. I was admiring this morning. Very unique picture of Radha and Krishna. And somebody paints Krishna like this, somebody paints him like that, somebody paints him this way and that way. Of course, how to represent with material objects something who's beyond this whole material universe. So naturally we will fall short. So Prabhupada said, but still, they are close enough that when you see Krishna, you will recognize him. They're close enough, all these pictures, that when you actually see Krishna, you'll recognize, oh yes, this is Krishna. So, we don't worship some imagined form, but this is the form of the Lord as described in the scriptures as described by the saints and described by the guru, because that is our process, guru, shastra and sadhu. So this is authorized, just like we give the example so many times of the post office, just like our friend Sundarananda Gopal, who somehow organized for me to come here. He's the postmaster there in some place near Sydney. So I don't know what your post boxes look like here, but we always have some box in America that's red, white and blue, of course, and it's got this little, always got some eagle on it, and you know, anyway, there's a box that's authorized by the post office that you put your letter in that box, and it's as if you went to the post office and gave it directly to the postmaster. It's not that I can just paint some box red, white and blue and put it on the street corner, put my letter in it and it'll go somewhere. No, there's a box that's authorized by the post office, and if you put your letter there, it's like just like you went to post office and gave that letter to the postmaster. The same way deity form is like this, that it is authorized, not by imagination. We don't imagine a Krishna, but we have the descriptions, how he's blackish like a monsoon cloud, how his eyes are just like blooming lotus petals, how he has long curly hair and he's playing his flute. So all the descriptions are there. So when we make the form of the Lord, then the Lord, when we perform the Pram Pratista, of course, Lord is already present within his form, because he's also present in the picture. As we know, we can offer our boga to the picture also. But still, by this process of deity worship, of installation, Pram Pratista, we call the deity to be very specially present. And what happens is, since Krishna, he's the Lord of everything, he's the master of the entire universe. So there's no problem for Krishna to change created energy back into creator energy. Lord is the creator. He's created so many energies by this process of deity worship. That so-called stone or brass or whatever it may be, it is turned back into the creator. Krishna, he's the master of the whole universe. He can do as he likes. Just like we see an electrician, he can... He just takes some wires and tubes and things, and one thing is giving heat, another thing is giving cold. One thing, we have a refrigerator, somehow electricians arranged everything that is making things cold and freezing the ice. And now in the Vrindavan is becoming winter time, so we're very happy. Some nice devotee donated a nice heater for us, also some wires and things, and it gives heat. So electrician, he can change according to his mechanics, he can change it one way or the other. It either gives cold or it gives heat. So Krishna, he's the master of everything, so he can change material energy back into spiritual energy. So actually, when we see the form of the Lord, we're directly seeing the Lord with our material eyes. We're seeing so-called material form of the Lord, but it's actually completely spiritual. There's no difference between the deity and the Lord himself. So in this way, we're given the opportunity in our conditioned stage to be able to worship the Lord. And what we're doing in deity worship, that is also going on in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we always hear how the gopis are always making flower garlands. And we come to Krishna Balaram temple, we see all the ladies sitting there making flower garlands. So that activity and activity in the spiritual world is exactly the same. This process of deity worship takes us directly to the spiritual world. Everything we're doing here is going on there. The only difference between one is here and one is there. But the activity is completely spiritual. So in this way, by this deity worship, we become attracted to the form of the Lord. And we become attracted to serving the Lord. We get some taste. Those who do deity worship, they get some taste for doing that worship. And therefore, every day they're trying to do it more nice and more nice and more nice. And some people are very expert. Just like our Ainder Prabhu was very expert, so everybody, oh, did Ainder Prabhu dress the deity? Come to Shringar Darshan, we can't wait to see how he's done it. You know, so people very, we become absorbed in the service of the Lord. But ultimately, we know there's 9 different processes of deity worship. You know, Shravana, Kirtan, Smaranam, Vishnu, Adi, Ityadi, etc. But Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Navavida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoite Haya. That Navavida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoite Haya. That all these 9 processes of devotional service, they're all very nice. And we know we can either perform all 9 of them, like Ambarish Maharaj, or we can do 1 of them. We always hear the example how Sukadeva Goswami by speaking, Maharaj Prakshit by hearing, you know. All these examples there, you can either do 1, 2, 3, all 9 of them. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Navavida Bhakti Purna, they're only complete, Nama Hoite Haya. Because Shravanam can mean anything, but specifically in this Kali Yuga, by this Nam Sankirtan, then everything becomes Purn, fully complete. Therefore we see, even in our deity worship, that everything is accompanied by Nam Sankirtan. So like the first time we went to India, we were shocked. Because we know in our temple, Mangalartik means Sansara Dava Nalalida Loka. Then Sringar Darshan means Govindam Hari Purusham Tama Hambajami. Then finally in the evening we have Kiva Jayo Jaya Gora Chande. And we always end up all the kirtans with Nam Sankirtan. So then we went to India, we went to a Hindu temple, and they opened the doors for aarti, and bam, 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 there's no kirtan, no nothing. In fact, you can't even hear it. Bam, 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 bam. We got big shocked. Because we thought, you know, aarti means, you know, there's some kirtan. So actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Navavida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoite. Everything becomes complete. Therefore, everything we do in Krishna consciousness is accompanied by Nam Sankirtan. We do Artik, then we always end with Nam Sankirtan. We do any, just like we do wedding ceremony, that always ends with Nam Sankirtan. We're doing Jagya, Kirtan. We're doing Deity worship, Kirtan. Everything is complete by Kirtan. Especially this Nam Kirtan. This is specially meant for this dark age of Kali. Navavida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoite Hai. So everything we accompany with Kirtan. Even taking prasadam. First we sing this Sridhara Vidyajal, then we end up with, you know, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Mahaprasad ki jai. So even taking prasad we accompany with Nam Sankirtan. Because that is the, especially for the, those of us who have been so unfortunate to take birth in this Kali Yuga, this is the main process, this Nam Sankirtan. Actually I say unfortunate, but actually the same 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes that we're very fortunate. He says we're very fortunate. Because what was, so many verses are there. Krita yad jayato vishnu, tretayam yadato makai, vaparyam paricharyam kalotad harikirtanat. In this Kali Yuga, just by this kirtan, we're getting the same result that those yogis, those people in Satyug, they meditated for 50, 60,000 years. In Treta Yuga, they were doing big, big yagyas with so much gold and silver and so much expense was there. Only big, big kings could do these yagyas. And in Dwapara Yuga, they were making huge temples of marble and with real silver and gold and everything. So all these things are very difficult, but kalo tad hari kirtana, same thing you will get, even more, because Mahaprabhu specifically he's come to give us this braja prema. Not just ordinary thing, but braja prema. you will get by this Nam Sankirtan. So we're very fortunate that Prabhupada, it's explained that even the demigods are standing in line in this tiny little Kali Yuga simply by chanting the holy name. Kalo Tadhari Kirtana. We'll go back to Godhead. Simply by this Nam Sankirtan. So this is so important, and this is so, this is our main process. Everything we're doing is just to facilitate Nam Sankirtan. Just like now, the Prabhupada, this is the first day of Prabhupada Marathon has started. So why are we distributing all these books and making so much arrangements to send all the book distributors out and do a big marathon and all this? Just so people will come in contact with these books and hear about Krishna by hearing this and hear about chanting Hare Krishna. Then they'll get that book, then they'll think, let me go to the temple. They'll come to the temple and they hear the chanting of Hare Krishna. Why do we spend these $100,000 to make a big, big Rath Yatra festival just so everybody can hear the chanting of Hare Krishna? That is the whole purpose. Everything we're doing is the purpose is to somehow or other facilitate chanting of the Maha Mantra. Otherwise we could go live in the forest. Why are we taking so much trouble to make a very, very beautiful temple? I'm coming here for the first time and I'm seeing so beautiful temple here, so beautiful deity, so beautiful deity. So why are we taking all the trouble just so people will come here and they'll chant? And everybody is doing everybody's on the marathon. Everybody's on the marathon. Because even those who are doing this wonderful deity worship here, they're also taking part in the marathon. Because people are going to read those books. What are they going to do? They go, let me go see this temple, what it's all about. Then they come here and they see, oh, so beautiful. Even the person who's sweeping the floor, because somebody's going to come, what is this all about? They come here to the temple. Just like I went all over northern India, and three things everybody told me. Wherever I went in all of northern India, I used to travel with Pundrik, we had a bus and we traveled around with those deities that are now in Aindra Prabhu's room. We had those in the back of our bus, Gornitai. We traveled all around with them. And everybody would say the same thing. I came to your temple and it was so clean. So this is also part of marathon. That person who's sweeping and mopping the floor, he's also on the Sankirtan. Because people will come here and the first thing, wow, it's so clean here. Second thing they saw, oh, your deity worship, that was, your deities are so beautiful. This is the number two thing. Anybody, when they find out that I'm from Vrindavan, oh, we saw your temple, it is clean. Oh, the deity worship was so nice. And that evening kirtan, oh, meto gadgad ho gaya. We're singing. You can understand, gadgad ho gaya. Just, they're shocked to see, because they only know, bang, 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 bang. But they see this, as they say kirtan, the devotees are jumping up and down, they say, oh, I'm so gadgad ho gaya. So that person who's even cleaning the floor of the temple, he's also on book distribution. He's also part of the Sankirtan movement. We're all part. It's like we were giving, I can't remember exactly what was the verse the other day in Bahrain, but somehow or other, we're talking about a screw. If that screw is lying on the ground, then nobody cares for it. It's a useless thing. Nobody thinks, oh, there's a screw on the ground, let me take it. You know, it's useless. We forget about it. It's a useless thing. But if that screw is missing from the machine, then the machine won't work properly. So when that little tiny screw gets put in the machine, then the machine starts working properly, then he's very valuable. So like that, we're all just a bunch of useless screws lying on the ground. But if we somehow become screwed into Prabhupada's Sankirtan machine, Prabhupada's made a huge Sankirtan machine to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. If you just become somehow a screw, then you become very valuable. Just lying on the ground, it is useless. Nobody looks at it twice. But as soon as he becomes screwed into the machine, so somehow or other, either you go out directly and give the book, or somehow you just become a screw in Prabhupada's Sankirtan machine. We'll all take part and push on Prabhupada's movement and push on this book tradition. If you can go out directly, do it. If you can't, then somehow you facilitate. Just like, I don't know what you do here, but in India we always get the businessmen to subsidize. The book is costing 100 rupees, we get it subsidized so we can sell it for 50 rupees, like that. so many different things. We just try to, in any way, anyhow, become a part of Prabhupada's Sankirtan machine. Even if you're just sweeping the floor, then you think that so many people are coming here. Now the Bhukta Distribution Marathon is going on. So many people, new people will come to the temple, that the temple should be clean. You just sweep like that, you're also part of the marathon. Everyone should become part of the marathon. Those who are doing the deity worship, they shouldn't think, oh, I can't go out and distribute. They're all, because the people are going to come and they'll say, wow, so beautiful. As soon as you walk in, that was, you know, how we all became devotees. We walked inside a temple. Even if it was just, of course here we have a beautiful temple, but even if it was just ordinary house, somehow it was painted funny colors. And but as soon as we walked in, wow, there's a different atmosphere here. As soon as we walk into the temple, wow, there's something different here. We feel something different. We immediately felt atmosphere is different. Because here, we've made all this decoration just for the pleasure of the Lord. So this, everything here has become completely spiritual. This is non-different from the spiritual world. The temple of the Lord means it is exactly non-different. This is Krishna's embassy. This is the Melbourne embassy of Goloka. So the people come here. We know that the embassy, that is considered to be non-different from the country. Just if I break one of your Australian laws and I run inside the U.S. embassy, then your Australian police can't catch me. Then they'll have to go through a whole legal process, extradition, and then get me. Because I run inside the embassy, that is considered to be America. It may be situated in, where is your capital? I forgot. It's the most famous city in Australia, Sydney, but I don't know, was it Canberra? So I imagine that's where the American embassy is there, maybe. So anyway, if I run inside the embassy, then your Australian police can't catch me. They have to go through some legal process to get me. Because that's considered that it's America. So this is Krishna's Melbourne embassy. And I'm very happy that you're maintaining the embassy very nicely. The deities are exquisitely decorated and everything very nice. And temple room is very clean. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? It took me a long time to ever get to South India. Then I finally got there and I realized why Krishna never let me leave Vrindavan. It's just like, you come, you know, and then just pew, you just take it. And Krishna Maharaj, you can come, you can sit there, you can chant your rounds, you can just look at it. It's so wonderful. It's so nice. You know, I couldn't, that Aishwarya Bhav didn't attract me at all. So then I understood, you know, Krishna said, you know, he always kept me in Braj, and I never went to all these places. And I finally went to South India, and just in one temple he's sleeping this way, another temple he's sleeping this way. You go to Sri Rangam, he's sleeping looking to the south, you know. In the other temple, you make an appointment and meet him in the office. And but in Vrindavan, Krishna is very easily available. You don't have to stand in line, you just come, you can chant. And it's so wonderful. Then I realized Krishna never let me go to South India. Actually, one Panda, Revati Brahman, he went to Puri. He's our president. Who's, if you do go to Tirupati, you will find the most Prabhupada consciousness in any temple I've ever seen in my life is in Tirupati, isn't it? Everywhere you see Prabhupada's picture, every department, you know, they go in, they have huge Food for Life program going on. Prabhupada. Even when I was there, throughout the city, you saw Prabhupada. They had these big billboards that said, his ears have heard the truth, his eyes have seen the truth, his mouth speaks the truth. Bhagavad Gita as it is. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Throughout the city, you see Prabhupada. And they distribute some, and they built that. To me, it's the most beautiful temple in ISKCON. Even though I'm partial to Krishna Balaram Mandir. Tirupati ISKCON is the most beautiful temple in ISKCON, I think. Very, very beautiful. And they built it all with book distribution. They didn't go out and do like membership and collect donations. They got some donations, obviously, but they have developed such a nice relationship with the authorities there, the Tirupati Deva, everything's run by the Tirupati Devasthana. They give them places to distribute books at all, you know, there's two or three places upstairs at the temple, then there's some Pambavati temple that they have a place to do book distribution. They have all these stalls all over the place that they've been given by the authorities to distribute books. Everything was built just by books. Because, you know, they're doing some paraphernalia thing, but still it was all just by Sankirtan. There wasn't any other, you know, 90% of the whole temple was built just by the Sankirtan. And so wonderful Prabhupada consciousness there. So I forgot to tell the story. So Revati Raman, he went to Puri. This Puri Panda found out that he was from Tirupati. So he told him, he said, when Lord is hungry, then he comes here to Jagannath Puri and eats. And after eating, he wants to take rest, he goes to Sri Rangam and takes rest. After taking rest, then he wants to do some exercise, so he comes to Vrindavan and he dances with the gopis. And then after dancing with gopis, he wants to do something else, so then he goes to Tirupati and does business. So what was your other question? We'd have to probably ask, we'd have to go further back and ask why Vajradham, but because all those deities were found in Vrindavan. So, my only explanation is that Krishna, because actually the forest of Vrindavan includes Radhakunda and Govardhan. Prabhupada explains in the first canto in a purport and also in Srimad and also in Krishna book, that the forest of Vrindavan extends from the town that is now known as Vrindavan 24 miles up to Nandagam, and it includes, you know, Govardhan. Now we see farmland, but it used to be a forest. That was one of the biggest forests. So why this town became famous as Vrindavan? Because Krishna's most famous lila is Ras Lila. Of all the Krishna's leelas, the most famous leela is the Ras Leela, and that took place in Vrindavan town. So therefore Vajranabh, he wanted to establish a very special deity there. So he called Vishwakarma and he made one deity. Then he called Uttara, who was the only person left on the planet at that time who had seen Krishna directly. And she saw this deity. He said, from the toes to the waist, he's Sakshat Vrajanardhanan. So then he made a third one. So that became Madan Mohan. Then he made a second one. When she saw that one, she said the Lakshastal, from the waist to the neck, that is Sakshat Brajana, that became Gopinath. So then he made third one, and as soon as Mother Uttara saw that one, I mean, she pulled her head like this, because a younger generation, they should not be uncovered in front of their elders, because Krishna is one of her elder relatives. So immediately she pulled her head and said, no, no, this is the moon-like face, Mukha-chandra, that became Govindadev. So all these deities were established there, and then after that he didn't make any more. He was told, this is okay, leave it like that. So all these three deities were established there, so that was the main place of worship that was going on, was that particular place of Vrindavan that's now known as Vrindavan. That town was because Krishna's Rasleela was the most famous. That's my own speculation, not based on any Shastra or anything, but just my own realization from living there.
That's where the Goswamis, all the Goswamis
were. Yeah. Well, all those deities were established in Vrindavan by Vajranava originally. Then they were, you know, Rupa Goswami saw some little boy told him there's some cow that's pouring milk into the ground, and he went there and found Govindadev, and Gopinath was found and underneath the tree at Bamsibat and like that. So they were all found there. And still, as Prabhupada said, Radhakund is very, it's not that just by going and living there. He said Radhakund is actually a consciousness. You have to become in Radhakund conscious, Prabhupada, otherwise you're living in Narakund. Narak means hell. So we won't tell you all the things that go on there. But I know people who become bewildered by these Babajis and gone there and then found out that, you know, the stuff that goes on ISKCON is, you know, it looks like, you know, kindergarten. And just like Keshavarya, I think we said that like their temple is in Govardhan, is away from Radhakund, because just like Bhaktisiddhanta, he didn't take Babaji, he took sannyas, because we should respect from a distance that Babaji is the highest. So from, we're not qualified, we should respect from a distance. So from a distance, Radhakund is better, we just respect from a distance. There's only a few comments I can make on that. Why? Well, that's where he got the land. But why did he make Krishna Balaram Mandir? That he stated that to show to the world that this Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they're none different from Krishna and Balaram. That this Lord Gornitaya who appeared in Kali Yuga, they're the same Krishna and Balaram. Just to counteract with some other person, other groups trying to say that Nityananda is Radharani and things like this. But anyway, Prabhupada wanted to show to the world that these two brothers, they're none different from Krishna and Balaram. Yeah. Yeah. We might even have been at Govardhan. That beautiful, when you're coming just before you get to Manasi Ganga, there's a beautiful palace there that used to be some Siddha Yoga Academy. Now it's, I guess, looks like it's taken over by the government. I can't figure out what's going on there. But it's a beautiful piece of land, and beautiful palaces are there. The Maharaja Bharapur told Prabhupada he would give it to him, and then in the discussions that he wanted, you know, I can't remember, it was those days, that was probably nowadays it's nothing, but it was a fantastic amount of money in those days. So Prabhupada said, I'm a sannyasi, he's a king, he should give it free. So our ISKCON would have been right there at Manasi Ganga. Anyway, it's all Krishna's plan. Somehow we have this beautiful property, and Ramanriti, and they told Prabhupada that, why did you build your temple out there? Who will go there? And now you come, even though you get pushed and shoved, you know, somehow or other, I know in other countries of the world you try to avoid bumping into people, but somehow I guess there's just too many people in there, nobody thinks anything about it, you know. So you're just standing there, even if you go down in the, sometimes it's like on a Sunday or a special night, a special day, you're just, even you're standing in the courtyard to watch the arctic, still you're just being pushed into it. But still, I just think, even though it's uncomfortable, I just think the Prabhupada must be up there and go look smiling, you know. They do, who's going to go there? And now we're number two, so Bhakti Bihari is number one, but still everybody goes to see Bhakti Bihari and ISKCON. That is the, it's become the most famous temple in Vrindavan. The brother, why did you build so far out there? In those days, nobody even, after dark, nobody went there. And now it's very difficult just to stand and peacefully see the Lord. But I just think, anyway, Prabhupada's smiling, so I just tolerate it. So if there's no more questions, and we can all fall down to the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who gave us deity worship. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.